السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا رك بعبادة ربه أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Kindly recite درود شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Respected elders and dear brothers, as human beings, whenever something comes into our ownership, whenever something comes into our possession, we develop a sense of possessiveness towards this particular item. So then the expression is that this is my car, it's my house, it's my business. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our Khaliq, He is our Creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, our organs, our limbs. Allah fashioned us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these hearts that we possess. Likewise, Allah Rabbul Izzah is possessive over these hearts that Allah has given us. Allah wants that the hearts that He has given us reflect His obedience and His obedience alone. Our a'mali saliha, the good deeds that we perform, our righteous deeds, our fasting, our dhikr, our tilawah, our salah, these good deeds, Allah is possessive over these deeds as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that these deeds that we perform are performed for His sake and for His sake alone. Today is the day of Friday, Yawmul Jumu'ah, a day in which we all are encouraged to recite Surah Al-Kahf. If you cannot recite Surah Al-Kahf, then at the very least listen to Surah Al-Kahf. So many virtues mentioned of Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf is the 18th chapter of the Quran. In the last verse of Surah Al-Kahf, which we recited just before Istiwa and Zawal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, whosoever from amongst you wishes to meet Allah Rabbul Izzah, who from amongst us does not want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We all want to enjoy that blessing and that bounty. So Allah says, do two things to attain the pleasure and the bounty of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, together with the iman that you have brought, perform good deeds. Perform righteous deeds, acts of virtue. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And secondly, don't ascribe any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under this particular verse, the Mufassirun go into great detail. One of the aspects that they speak about, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, verse 110 in chapter 18, Allah is highlighting or bringing to our attention the fact of the subtle hint of shirk that could be associated with our righteous deeds, that could creep into our righteous deeds, that could infiltrate our righteous deeds, thereby destroying and nullifying and compromising our righteous deeds. What is the subtle type of shirk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting? It is the aspect of insincerity. Insincerity when it comes to the performance of our good deeds. So when we perform our righteous deeds, it's so that someone else can see, someone else can recognize it, someone else can acknowledge it other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Allah Rabbul Izzah is highlighting in this verse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion he addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he said to them, لِلشِّرْكِ فِيكُمْ أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبِ النَّمْلِ. Oh my Sahaba, be wary. There's a type of shirk that has the capacity to destroy all your good deeds. أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبِ النَّمْلِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the manner in which it will enter your good deeds and nullify them. He says, أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبِ النَّمْلِ. It is so secretive, so hidden in its nature, it's more hidden to you than the sounds of the footsteps of an ant. Can we hear the sounds of the footsteps of an ant? Impossible. He says, it's more secretive than that, in the manner in which it will enter your good deeds and destroy your good deeds. And what is that? The lack of ikhlas and the lack of sincerity when it comes to performance of our good deeds and our righteous deeds. Ikhlas. The word ikhlas comes from the root word khalasa. Khalasa means to take something, to remove all the blemishes, to remove all the dirt, to cleanse it, to remove it. And then you're left with one thing. And what is that one thing? You are left with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the equation. Only Allah is your goal. Allah is your only objective. Allah is your only direction. You don't want any name and fame. You don't want any likes. You don't want to put it on your status. You don't want anybody to see it. You don't want any comments. It is all for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Only you and Allah know. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us with this, that be cautious of this. For us to understand this, by way of example, think about a person who's living a very healthy life. He looks after himself, and his entire life, he looked after his body, his diet was good, he was sociable, he was good to other people. And sometime during his 50s or 60s, Allah knows when, maybe even young, he feels restless now. And he has this sudden fatigue that overtakes him. He has sudden weight loss. So he's concerned. So now he goes to the doctor and he says to the doctor, look, I'm experiencing this weight loss. I can't sleep, I have this fatigue, I'm restless, and it just happened suddenly this overtook me for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So the doctor prescribes him some medication, and he says, take these tablets, go home, try this course. So he goes home, he takes the medication that was prescribed to him by the doctor. A few weeks later, still the same problem, still the same predicament, still the same restlessness. So now he goes back to the doctor. The doctor says, okay, let's take it a step further. Go do some blood tests. Go do some scans. So then this person, he goes for some scans, he goes for some blood tests. And thereafter, the reports come back to the doctor. The doctor looks at the reports and he calls this patient of his. And he calls him to the surgery. And he says to him, look, we've done whatever we can, but unfortunately, it looks like you have stage 4 cancer. Allah forbid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. How many a times do we hear of a person who was absolutely healthy, absolutely fit, doing everything correctly, and suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to test this person. Whereas he thought he was doing everything normal, he was normal. Likewise, with regard to our good deeds, with regard to our spirituality, it shouldn't be that we have the impression that we are doing so much of good, but it is contaminated with bi-ikhlasi and insincerity. Then when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, externally your ibadah and your acts of worship, your generosity, your charity, your fasting, your nafil fast, your dhikr, your tilawah, it took the form of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala externally, but internally it lacked substance. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell this person, you have nothing to present before me. So it shouldn't be like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from bi-ikhlasi and insincerity in our good deeds. Our pious, our sahaba, our pious predecessors, they were very, very protective over their good deeds. very, very protective. In fact, I was reading the other day, it's mentioned regarding our Salaf and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were more protective, or they would hide, rather, they would hide their good deeds more than they would their evil deeds. They would hide their good deeds more than they would their evil deeds. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved to free slaves. He loved to free slaves. So someone said to him, someone came up to him and said to him that, oh Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, why don't you free the strong ones, those who have some muscle, those who have some, they have a good build, they're active. Perhaps maybe later on, if you need a favor, they will help you. You can lean on your favor upon them later on after you free them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to this person that I intentionally look for the weak ones. I intentionally look for those slaves whom I know or I have the least expectation that later on they will be of any benefit to me. I don't want any fringe benefits. I don't want any kickbacks. It's not a tit for tat situation. I am doing this solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully described that sadaqah and that charity, where the right hand gives, the left hand doesn't even know. This is the epitome of sincerity and selflessness. If there's another word for ikhlas, one alim described ikhlas as selflessness. There's nothing in the equation besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Tayyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said regarding his father, and the mashayikh and the ulama of his community, he says, أَدْرَكْتُ أَبِي وَمَشِيخَةُ الْحَيِّ كَانُوا إِذَا صَامُوا إِدَّهَنُوا وَلَبِسُوا أَحْسَنَ ثِيَابِهِمْ. He said, I found my father and the ulama of my community, whenever they would fast, nafil fast, like many of us are doing in the months of Rajab, in the months of Sha'ban, leading up to the days in the month of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. He said, when I found my father and the ulama of my community fasting, nafil fasts, in the morning they would make sure that they are prim and proper. They would wear the best of clothing, and they would take some oil and they would rub it on their faces, they would put some balm around their lips. Why? So that no one, the onlooker, is not aware that this person is fasting. Because when a person fasts, you can see some signs that this person is facing some kind of discomfort or is hungry. You can see it. So to avoid that, they would intentionally apply some oil on their face. They would wear the best of clothing so that the people they interact with during the day have no clue, no idea that this person is fasting. And that is why the action of fasting is so beautiful. It is so powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. All other acts of worship, they are done in the purview of others. Someone perhaps might be aware that you are performing that action, like salah, for example, we all came to the masjid. But fasting is different. Different in the sense that it is only between you and Allah. Even in the month of Ramadan, if a person is fasting, no one will come to know if you decide to take a bite or you take a sip or you break your fast. No one will come to know. It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah says the reward. I will enumerate the reward. Even the malaika don't know. All the other actions, maybe it will be multiplied 10 times or 70 times or 700 times. Allah says, for fasting, I will give you the reward. One explanation, I will be the reward. So that is the message of the month of Ramadan. And the reason why I'm speaking about sincerity at this particular time, during the month of Sha'ban, as we lead up to the month of Ramadan, many of us, alhamdulillah, through the fadl and the karam and the grace of Allah, have been preparing for the month of Ramadan. Let us make sure that all our acts of worship are watered with the ingredient and with sincerity and ikhlas. That will allow us to enjoy the fruits of our acts of righteousness. That will allow us to enjoy the rewards of those acts of worship in the month of Ramadan. Not only the rewards, inshallah, if there is sincerity, we will see the benefits of those acts of worship outside of the month of Ramadan. One is the rewards of the month of Ramadan, which you will get. But ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the benefits of Ramadan that will roll over for the months thereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow Ramadan with afiyah. Another pious tabi'i, a person who met the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, by the name of Rabi' bin Khuthaym rahimahullahu ta'ala. Rabi' was such a personality, such an individual. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would say to him that, O Rabi', لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. O Rabi', you know, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met you, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw you, he would have been so fond of you. This is Rabi' bin Khuthaym rahimahullahu ta'ala. It is mentioned regarding Rabi' bin Khuthaym, كان إذا قرأ القرآن والمصحف في حجره فدخل عليه الداخل فيغطيه. If he was in his room and the copy of the Quran was on his lap and he was reciting the Holy Quran, and if somebody had to walk into his home, walk into his room, he quickly would take the shawl and cover the Quran. He would cover the copy of the Quran and he would remain silent so that no one is aware that Rabi' is reciting the Holy Quran. This is the extent to which our pious would protect their good deeds and hide their good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that zeal and that desire to do that. A few points on how we can develop ikhlas, increase our ikhlas, and how to gauge our ikhlas. Number one, our ulama mentioned that whenever you are performing any good deed, keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront of your mind. Don't do it unconsciously. Consciously remind yourself that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, if it is an action that you have to do whilst others are around you. So Allah is watching, others are also watching. For example, we all came for salah, there are others around us. Or we all went for taraweeh salah, there are others around us. We are performing taraweeh salah, there are people behind us. How does one develop sincerity or gauge sincerity? Ulama say, ask yourself this important question. Had you been alone, had you been performing this action in the privacy of your home, secluded, in solitude, would you have performed this action with the same level of ikhlas, same level of humility rather, same level of khushu' and same level of perfection? Then inshaAllah ta'ala, this will help you and assist you in understanding how much of ikhlas you do have. Number three, the ulama say that whenever you have anything good, how does one come to find out whether he was sincere? Then he should look at following through with that intention. If a person follows through with that intention, that is a sign that this person was sincere. Number three. For example, he says, okay, in the month of Sha'ban, if I strike this deal, inshallah, from the prophets, I will take perhaps maybe 5,000 rands and I will discharge it to some avenue of good in the month of Ramadan. For example. So when he does strike that deal, and when he does receive those monies, then he should discharge it. This is a sign that he was sincere in his intention. Number four, if number three doesn't work out, so number four is leading up to number three. If number three doesn't work out in the sense that that deal that he struck wasn't as lucrative as he had hoped for, ulama say, then do the next best thing. If you couldn't discharge 5,000 rands, then discharge at least 500 rands for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be a sign that you had sincerity when you made that intention. So four points. Number one, do it for the sake of Allah. Keep Allah in front of you. And number two, when it is an action that you are performing in public, then ask yourself, had you done it in the privacy of your home, would it have been at the same level of perfection? And number three, whenever we have an intention, we follow through with the intention. And number four, we do the next best thing. So firstly, we mentioned the importance of sincerity in our acts of worship. Secondly, we mentioned a few points about how to develop sincerity and ikhlas. The third aspect that I want to speak about is, what are the rewards of ikhlas and sincerity? You know, we spoke about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to some mufassirun, has mentioned with regard to or alluded to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Surah Al-Layl. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. In the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you and confer upon you happiness. So the first reward and the benefit of bringing about ikhlas, watering our deeds with ikhlas and sincerity is that Allah will give us happiness in our hearts. We all are seeking happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of happiness. We might have everything in this world, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken that ni'mah away, then what do we have? Allah is as-salam, He is the owner of happiness. He is the one who gives happiness. You might have the most comfortable of luxuries, the most comfortable of beds, but if Allah has taken sleep away from you and you are restless, then what is there to enjoy? Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give that person who's sleeping on the side of the road, He would give him salam and peace and empty happiness in his heart, and he will sleep like a baby. So the first benefit of bringing about ikhlas and sincerity in our good deeds is Allah will give us happiness and contentment in our heart. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the courage and the ability to stand up for the truth. Then you won't be apologetic about your deen. You won't make excuses about your deen. You won't modify the Quran and the Sunnah to suit your narrative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the courage. Allah will give you the ability to stand up for the truth. And lastly, respected elders and friends, the third benefit of ikhlas in our good deeds is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower you with His assistance, His support and His help. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during the time of his khilafah, he sent a contingent of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their leader being Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He sent them to the lands of Egypt. So they were to go there to conquer the lands of Egypt. So when Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this incident is mentioned in Hayat al-Sahaba, in the last chapter. When Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Sahaba, the contingent that was sent from Al-Madinah to Munawwara, they came to Misr. They came to the lands of Egypt. For some reason, they delayed in conquering Egypt. They delayed in victory. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in Al-Madinah to Munawwara. He's waiting for some good news. And he's waiting like this 2 years passed. So now he sends a letter to Amr ibn al-As. He's very stern in the letter. Amongst the things, that he said to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu is, وَمَا ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِمَا أَحْدَثْتُمْ وَأَحْبَبْتُمْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا أَحَبَّ عَدُوُّكُمْ. He says, oh Amr, is it because that the love of dunya has entered your heart, just like how it has entered the hearts of your enemies? Is that why you are delaying victory? Is that why you are delaying the mission that we wanted to achieve? And then he said to him, this is our focal point, our message. He says to him, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْصُرُ قَوْمًا إِلَّا بِصِدْقِ نِيَّاتِهِمْ. He says, remember, O Amr ibn al-As. He says, if you want the help of Allah, if you want the assistance of Allah, if you want the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember the degree of the assistance and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in proportion to the degree of your ikhlas and the sincerity in your heart. If you are sincere, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely come. And that is our message for today. We want the help of Allah in an individual capacity. Globally, we are desirous of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desperate for the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It begins with us. Our fasting, our dhikr, our tilawa, whatever acts of worship and righteousness that we are performing, let us remember, let us contemplate, let us think that whatever I'm doing is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for no other objective and for no other reason. And then he said to Amr ibn al-As in the letter, he said, I'm sending you four sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Each one of these sahaba are like 1,000 men. So essentially, I'm sending you 4,000 soldiers. Who are these sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum? Let us try and remember their names. Number one, Al-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Number two, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Number three, Ubadah ibn al-Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And number four, Maslamah ibn Mukhalladin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. No sooner did these four sahaba join the army in Egypt, no sooner, and it was the day of Friday, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu began his khutbah at the time of Zawwal. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that as soon as this letter reaches you And my four Sahaba who are like a, who each of them is like 1,000 men, reach you. As soon as they reach you, give a khutbah. Rise the people up. Encourage them. Perform 2 rakats of salah. Engage in dua, for duas are accepted at that time. And then round up the army and go into the thick of battle. He says, no sooner did he position these four Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum at the front of the army. And the battle began. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory. Owing to what? The sincerity of intention. The sincerity of which they were performing their good deeds with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us. Lastly, respected elders and friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, he advised us, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يَكُودَ لَهُ خَبْءٌ مِّنْ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. You know, sometimes when you want to, for the lack of a better example, you want to make some money. So you'll go to these old uncles who are into investments. They know the market very well. So you'll go to them and say, uncle, you know, what's lucrative now? What can I invest in? So they'll whisper it in your ear in the corner of the room. They'll tell you, know, this is very good. Do this here. Or they'll give you some advice. You wait for that advice. Think about it like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to you, oh my ummati, you want something genuinely beneficial for you in the akhirah? He says, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يَكُونَ لَوْ خَبْءٌ مِّنْ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ فَلْيَفْعَلِ. It's as though he's whispering in our ears. You want something that will be lucrative for you, an investment that will truly mature for you when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, do some action only you and Allah know about. Your wife doesn't know. Your parents don't know. Your children don't know. If you have the ability, he says, فَلْيَفْعَلْ, then do so. Don't even think twice. Do it. This will benefit you in akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ikhlas in our good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever we are doing leading up to the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to witness the month of Ramadan with afiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us with the rewards of Ramadan and to benefit us with the benefits of the month of Ramadan. Those whom we have lost, those who will not be with us in the month of Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise their ranks in akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, have mercy on them, grant them jannatul firdaus, make their qubur gardens from the gardens of Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.